The NFL Combine is over and NFL teams are resetting their draft boards, including the Green Bay Packers, who recently wrapped up a long week in Indianapolis. We'll be talking to Evan Western of Acme Packing Company, who was there at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Talking some Packers football this morning. We're wrapping up the NFL Combine, and we're talking to someone who was there at the Combine live in Indianapolis. We're talking with Evan Western of
Expert Interview.
Acme Packing Company. Evan, how you doing this morning?
Hey, doing great. Nice sunny, cold morning, but looking forward to wrapping up pretty interesting week back in Indianapolis.
Yes, definitely. Before we get to Combine talk, there was a report earlier this week that the Oakland Raiders will make a run at Randall Cobb. In your opinion, Mr. Western, does this make it any more likely that Cobb could potentially leave Green Bay in free agency?
You know, my gut feeling is that something still gets done between Cobb and Ted Thompson and company before free agency starts. I've kind of held all along here that if he doesn't sign before March 10th, then all bets are off. And then you're going to see one of these teams, maybe Oakland, maybe Jacksonville, who's got a lot of cap space, really, really make a run at him. But I still have a gut feeling that somehow they work something out before March 10th hits and that Cobb is back in green and gold for next year.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think it could happen. Who knows, any minute that they announce an extension with Cobb. Although I do tend to also agree with if he does reach free agency, then it's a dicey proposition. But I guess this can transition into Combine talk here. Let's say, hypothetically, Cobb departs as a free agent. Would the Packers all of a sudden be in the market for a first-round wide receiver?
You know, my gut feeling in there is probably not in the first round. Obviously, Thompson has a great track record with second round, third round receivers. And so I think I'd be more inclined to think that they would look in that range for somebody. You know, maybe a guy like Tyler Lockett out of Kansas State. He seems to me to be very much a similar type of player to Cobb, similar height, weight, speed, similar special teams ability, maybe even a little bit more so than Cobb had coming out of college. So that's a guy that I could definitely see rounds two, round three, maybe. And then if you drop a little bit later in the draft, one guy who really interested me talking to him and seeing him run at the combine was Trey McBride out of William & Mary. He's a little taller, about 6 foot, but, you know, similar kind of speed. I think he ran a 4.41. And he's, you know, I think he could be a weapon out of the slot as well.
I can buy those most definitely. I like those players you just mentioned. And again, all hypotheticals here, kind of making the assumption Cobb is gone. But we'll end up seeing how this plays out. Let's play another hypothetical game, though. I think most people have identified inside linebacker as the Packers' biggest need on their roster. Just you know, strictly from a need standpoint. Let's say every single inside linebacker is still on the board when the Packers pick 30th in the first round. They have the pick of the litter. Who would you take if you could have any inside linebacker in this year's draft class?
I keep waffling back and forth between two guys, and they kind of fit a similar mold. I'm going back and forth between Eric Kendricks from UCLA and Shaq Thompson from Washington. I can't shake the feeling that we need somebody to keep up athletically with running backs and tight ends in the passing game. And that certainly is, you know, part of the strength of those two guys' game. Kendricks talked at length about how he excels in coverage from that inside linebacker spot. And Thompson obviously athletically has the ability to do so as well. So I think one of those guys would make a real good pairing with Sam Berrington, you know, leave him kind of in the mic position, a little bit more of a run stopper, more of a thumper, and then get the athletic guy to pair with them on the other side inside there.
I'm liking everything you say this morning, Evan. I agree with everything. I like those two guys as well. Boy, if either of them are there for the Packers, I think they'd be tough to pass up, especially considering the need. But I also do think those guys are good players. What's your take on Paul Dawson at the Combine? He has a poor performance, not only in the 40, but the jumping drills as well. Did he jeopardize his chances at being a first-round pick?
Well, I think he definitely put it in jeopardy. I mean, I feel like he was kind of one of those borderline guys as it was coming in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he looks great on tape, and you alluded to it yesterday, you know, in your piece about how the whole combine process kind of calls his dedication into question, and I fully agree with you there. I think you know, it certainly could be a case of him just not preparing like he needed to for some of these drills, knowing that this is, you know, the biggest job interview of his life. And, you know, certainly what does that say about him, you know, his work ethic on, you know, off the field once he gets into camp. So, you know, I do think that, you know, at this point his stock is probably at an all-time low because of, you know, the performances of the combine. But gradually, as people continue watching more and more film, he'll continue to rise back up a little bit and get himself right along that kind of low first, maybe, you know, probably more like the high to middle second round grade is where I think he'll end up eventually.
We're talking to Evan Western of AcmePackingCompany.com, part of the SB Nation Network, here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Evan, kind of a player at the opposite end of the spectrum was Michigan State cornerback Trey Waynes, a Wisconsin native who turned in the fastest 40 time for a cornerback at the Combine. Should Waynes somehow slip to 30, did the Packers consider taking him?
Absolutely. I think they absolutely should. I don't think he'll get there. I think at this point with, you know, with the times he put up and the film that he's got, I think he probably ends up going top 20. I think Miami at 14 might be a good fit for him. But if for some reason he does slip down to 30, I would absolutely love seeing him in green and gold. I think, and I think he's a real solid boundary corner. I think he with House and Williams obviously both hit free agency here shortly. I think certainly cornerback could be a potential need depending on how those two guys shake out and where they end up signing. So yeah, if he's there at 30, I think to take a long look at him, especially if, you know, some of those top inside linebackers are off the board.
Again, I'm right there with you. I mean, I don't think he gets to 30 either, but somehow if he does, even if, you know, there is a good inside linebacker, I don't know how you pass up a guy like Trey Waynes, who may be the best cornerback on the board, the best cornerback in the entire draft. Kind of wrapping up some combine talk here. Just, is there anything that stuck out to you at the combine? Was there a performance that surprised you or a player you interviewed that stood out to you in some way? I'm going for anything here. Doesn't have to be even Packers related. Just what stood out to you over the past week?
Sure. One of the guys, I think the best combine interview of the week was Michael Bennett, the defensive tackle from Ohio State. He was hilarious and just kind of he even showed in his interview just his mind and his understanding of defensive concepts too. He started talking about all the various positions he could play across the three-man front and all the various techniques. And so I think he's a real interesting guy, and he might be there sitting at 62 at the end of the second round. And I certainly think he's a guy who could contribute, you know, for Green Bay. I don't know if he necessarily is the mold for nose tackle, but even address that a little bit instead. You know, you don't need to be 335 pounds as long as your technique is really good on the inside. So that was one guy who just jumped out to me in terms of his interviews. Like I said, just a real entertaining, fun guy. But yeah, I think just overall, one of the things that surprised me a little bit is it just seems like times, 40 times, were slow a little bit this year. And I don't know if it's, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with the stopwatches or anything, but it just seemed like there were a lot of guys who ran a little slower than expected. So I think that was maybe a little bit of a disappointment, at least with some of these players. Obviously, Dawson was one of them. You know, Melvin Gordon put up, what, the 4.52 or something like that. I thought he'd run a little faster than that, but he also timed out really, really well in some of the agility drills, and I think that'll help him rise up the boards as well.
Yeah, I think some people were disappointed with the times of the tight ends as well, not that they were exceedingly bad, but, you know, just slower than expected, I'd say. There was some scuttlebutt over the past day or so that the Packers are ditching the throwback uniforms they've worn for the past 5 years and have an opportunity to debut a new alternate uniform. You know, I'm just curious here. Do you think we'll see anything creative from the Packers in 2015?
Well, consider me skeptical. I mean, obviously the throwback is the biggest departure from anything that they've done in a long time. And they're, you know, it's too iconic of a uniform to really mess with too much. So, you know, I don't think we'll see some of those, you know, like those gold jerseys that were sold a couple of years back. I don't think you'll see those on the field anytime soon or anything like that. So if anything, you know, maybe they'll tweak up the throwback. Maybe I think would be a lot of fun is to see something a little bit reminiscent of the, you know, the classic 60s uniforms, the Lombardi era uniforms, a little different striping on the shoulders, something like that. That might be kind of fun, but yeah, I doubt there'll be any sort of serious departure, especially since, you know, when the NFL made the change from Reebok to Nike, you know, the Packers didn't do anything to alter the uniforms at all.
Yeah. Evan, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. You threw some good names out there today that I like a lot, so I thought that was really good. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. As always, you've been a multi-time guest here at Railbird Central, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, and go Pack, go.
All right. Take care. Evan Western of AcmePackingCompany.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. He's Tex Western on Twitter. If you haven't already, give him a follow and follow Acme Packing Co., short for company, as well, as they're one of the best Packers blogs out there, aside from Cheesehead TV. But no, they're really good. It is now time for
Packers News of the Day.
On a Wednesday, that's today's date. Earlier this week, there was some talk since the last episode of Railbird Central that the Oakland Raiders will make a run at Randall Cobb. Of course, we talked about this with Evan Western, got his thoughts on the matter. I wanted to share my own, and that's that I think this is a rather remote scenario that I don't foresee happening. Yeah, I suppose if Randall Cobb does reach free agency, then there may be a little bit of worry. And I alluded to this yesterday in a piece at Cheesehead TV. And maybe I should kind of like flesh this out in a full-fledged column or whatever. The Packers would be behooved, or it would behoove the Packers, to get deals done with Randall Cobb and Brian Bulaga ASAP, because I think once free agency starts, I don't think guys like Devon House and Tremont Williams are going to have a lot of patience, because it makes sense that they're, you know, kind of third in the pecking order in that they're not going to get deals done until Cobb and Bulaga are done first. And that's because the Packers, I don't think, will know how much room is left on the salary cap, things like that, until they flesh out the contracts of Cobb and Bulaga, the exact number of years, the exact amount of guaranteed money, you know, that can impact how a salary cap looks, not just this year, but beyond 2015. So I don't think, you know, all of a sudden, if it reaches March 10th and the Packers are still negotiating with Cobb and Bulaga, you know, Devon House is going to be like, I'm going somewhere else. Same with Tremont Williams, or at least it wouldn't surprise me if they'd go somewhere else, or one of the two would go somewhere else, however it ends up working out. So I think the Packers really got to, you know, get down to business here in the next 2 weeks and come up with a deal with Randall Cobb. I don't think this should be hard. If it is indeed true that Randall Cobb is looking for a deal in the realm of $9 million a season, as was reported by Rob Domofsky of ESPN, and that's, you know, that's kind of one small parameter of a deal. Like I said, you know, number of years, amount of guaranteed money. Those are probably the sticking points that are, you know, holding up negotiations here. But I do not have a problem paying Randall Cobb somewhere in that range, that realm, somewhere around there. I still think he's a young player who, you know, I think the Packers, you know, kind of have a little bit of a bargaining chip in that, you know, we're not going to give the world to you yet because you're still young and can, you know, still have another chance at free agency. Really young. I mean, just Randall Cobb, he's probably the youngest. I'm almost positive he is. He's like the youngest player coming up in the NFL coming up at free agency for the first time. You know, the guy who's seen the expiration date of his first contract come. So I think that's, you know, coming down the pike here. And that's what I think about Randall Cobb and what's going to happen here. I think it's inevitable that it does happen. It's just a matter of time, and it would behoove the Packers to get this done before the start of free agency. It'd behoove them to get it done, heck, this week, so then they can spend, you know, the next week focusing on Brian Bulaga or something like that. Get those guys extended before the start of free agency, and then at that point they can focus on the rest of the team, the Devon Houses, the Tremont Williams, Scott Tolzien, John Kuhn, whoever it may be. You know, there's they got a dozen guys coming up for unrestricted free agency, BJ Raji, and a couple more restricted and exclusive rights guys on top of that. So that's what's happening there. I wanted to share just one brief interview from the NFL Combine. It's only part of an interview. It's only a little over a minute long here. But I just happened to grab, while I was there at Indianapolis, former Packers safety Matt Bowen, now himself part of the media at Bleacher Report primarily. He's also a correspondent, analyst for the Chicago Tribune, I think some radio stations in Chicago where he lives. But I just think here's a former Packers player who knows the culture, the environment in Green Bay, and wanted to get his thoughts on the team and where they stand heading into the 2015 season, free agency, the draft, things like that. I just kind of asked Matt, you know, what are the Packers' needs as you see them heading into 2015? He mentions Randall Cobb among several other topics. Here is what Matt Bowen, former Packers safety, had to say.
Free agency first, we have to see. You know, Bulaga back, I hope he is. Randall Cobb. You know, Randall Cobb goes to a different team. That's a situation you got to make a move. And this is a loaded wide receiver class. You always look at, you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. It doesn't hurt to look at more wide receivers. This class is loaded. You can get some value third, fourth round. Inside linebacker. I think the Packers have to get younger and faster at inside linebackers. Some good players. Denzel Perriman from Miami is a player to watch. I really liked him at the Senior Bowl. I think he can even add some weight, all right, get up a little bit and play in that 3-4 scheme. But I think he's a three-down player in the NFL. You can never have too many pass rushers. Never. If there's a pass rusher there when the Packers are on the clock, I'm not saying the first round, I'm saying whatever it is, go for that. Defensive backs. You always need DBs. One for your special teams. Two for your depth. With Dom Capers, you're going to play 5-6 DBs in the field at once. You need guys. Guys get beat up. They get hurt throughout the season. Tremont Williams is one of my favorite cornerbacks in the NFL, but what is Tremont, 32? Yeah. Father Time's undefeated. Doesn't mean that he can't play right now, but he's on the back end of his career. You got to get younger at corner as well. But those are value picks. Those are your top picks. Yeah. I think top picks, you always start up front. Start up front, work your way back.
So there you go. There's some thoughts from Matt Bowen, former Packers safety, on the needs of the Packers entering the 2015 season. Like you said, you take a care of free agency first. Once that all plays out, then you have a good idea of what's going to happen in the draft. I mean, I've said, you know, Randall Cobb, Brian Bulaga, priorities A and B entering the offseason. Assume they'll be back, but I mean, it's the NFL. I can't make a 100% guarantee. Should one of those guys happen to leave, as remote of a possibility that may seem right now, then all of a sudden, you know, wide receiver and offensive line are a little bit bigger needs for the Green Bay Packers entering 2015, as you know, when the draft ends up rolling around. So that's what's happening there. As far as
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers on a Wednesday morning today, what is it, February 25th, Jerry Kramer, former Packers offensive lineman, will be giving the keynote speech at the Paul Horning Award Banquet in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. I think 7 p.m. Local time there in Louisville. What it is the Paul Horning Award Banquet honors the nation's most versatile player. Of course, Packer fans will know Paul Horning as the Super Bowl winning running back and kicker for the Packers. Very versatile in that regard. But go back to his career at the University of Notre Dame. He won the Heisman Trophy, of course. He was actually a quarterback back then. So obviously talented, versatile player. And so now this award, which is not all that old, I know it was just made in the past few years or created in the past few years or so. It, you know, like all these other college awards, like the, you know, the Outland Trophy, the Mackey Trophy honoring the, you know, best tight end, the Jim Thorpe Award for the best defensive back, the most versatile for Paul Horning. The winner's already been announced for months, really. Shaq Thompson of Washington. We talked about earlier on the show with Evan Western. So being formally honored in a banquet tonight, I just think it's appropriate here. You know, here's a guy who is perhaps thought to be a target of the Green Bay Packers, being honored at a banquet where there is a couple of Packers speaking. So Jerry Kramer giving the keynote address, and of course the being honored after Paul Horning, who I'm assuming will also be there. It's in his native Louisville. So I know that the reason they're having it at this point, you know, these type of awards tend to be handed out in the aftermath of the college football season. And here we are in February. It's not happening. They kind of actually worked around, I know, Shaq Thompson's schedule in that, you know, he's been training for the NFL Combine and, you know, things like, you know, wanted to perform well in Indianapolis and kind of been waiting on that. So they waited till after the Combine. And in fact, you know, Louisville is actually a fairly short drive from Indy. So just kind of going directly from one to the next there. And I mean, to just talk a little bit about Shaq Thompson here, you know, he's the guy to talk about his versatility. He, of course, kind of, you know, known primarily as a linebacker at the University of Washington, but also played running back. In fact, made the full-time switch. It was interesting. You thought, you know, you see once in a while guys play two ways in college. Shaq Thompson kind of, you know, at midseason, there was a stretch there where the University of Washington suffered some injuries at running back, and he just kind of made the move totally. Like didn't, you know, they got him in at practice and got him start, you know, practicing running back and let him focus on that for a few games, and then went back to linebacker towards the end of the year. And I mean, excelled at both. It is just remarkable what he was able to do at Washington, you know, basically go from being a top flight linebacker to a top flight running back. I mean, the talent this guy has, you know, jumps off paper. And you know, of course, it's should be no surprise that he's in the discussion as a first round potential pick. And I personally don't think he gets to the Green Bay Packers at pick number 30. Of course, though, you never know. I mean, you never know how the draft ends up shaking out. And guys do drop sometimes right into your lap. And I think the Packers would have to consider him if he was there, just because of how talented, how much of a true talent this guy is. I was perhaps a little bit of surprise that he didn't put up better numbers at the combine. Not that they were bad by any means, but for a guy, you know, hailed as this, you know, elite athlete, I just thought he'd do, you know, a little bit better in everything. Not just the 40-yard dash, but the, you know, the bench press and the jumps and the shuttle drills and all of those things. Just, you know, kind of ended up being a little bit a middle of the pack kind of guy. Not that that's, you know, we know that the combine is not the be all end all of what's going to end up being a good athlete in the NFL. As they say, a game is never determined by, you know, hauling out a bench press to the 50-yard line and seeing who can pump out the most reps or who's simply the fastest player. It matters little. So I think as long as Shaq Thompson didn't, you know, he wasn't in Paul Dawson territory who had a poor NFL combine. Shaq Thompson wore, you know, middle of the pack. But again, you turn on his tape, and he's one of the elite athletes out there. And I think the Packers, boy, if he were on the board, you would have a hard time passing him up. I think it's a possibility that the Packers end up having their pick of the litter at inside linebacker. The one thing that gives me pause or doubt is that Thompson will be off the board already. And I'm not sure everybody views him the same way. You know, I think his ideal position is kind of a 4-3 outside linebacker, but, you know, as an inside linebacker, he could do it. He did it at Washington. It's just that I think, you know, some other team may value him more highly than the Packers, and he'll come off the board earlier. But I think there's a remote possibility the Packers end up having their pick of the litter and could, you know, end up choosing between a guy like him, Eric Kendricks, Denzel Perryman. I know different people have different views on who they like. And, you know, I'm kind of up there that, you know, the best true inside linebacker, I believe, is Eric Kendricks. I couldn't deny Shaq Thompson's talent. It would be a tough choice, just because I think, you know, Kendricks is more ideally suited, but you can't deny the athleticism of a Shaq Thompson. And I think for me, Denzel Perryman probably comes after that. And Stephon Anthony of Clemson is there too. I'm not really sure what exactly to make of Stephon Anthony yet. I still haven't watched much film on him, so I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see approach a little bit to watch a little bit more about him kind of before I make an informed opinion there. But those are the Packers, you know, inside linebacker prospects as I see them. If you noticed here at Cheesehead TV, we put a post up the other day. There's this report that the Packers are interested in Stephon Anthony of Clemson, put out there by Tony Pauline of draftinsider.net. And I know Charles Davis of the NFL Network, who you probably, if you watched NFL Network's coverage of the combine over the past week or so, you heard a lot of him. He actually has a mock draft, the Packers taking Stephon Anthony of Clemson in the first round of the draft. I think very few people have Anthony pegged as a first rounder. So it's just interesting. Here's a guy who's, you know, considered one of the best, you know, NFL draft analyst, and here he's got Anthony going in the first round when very few other people do. And of course, you can just connect the dots between Anthony and the Packers just in terms of need at the position. So interesting. But that concludes today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on the show this morning. Thanks to Evan Western of Acme Packing Company for joining us. We are nearing our 500th episode of Railbird Central. We will be hitting it in early March, two Mondays from now. Actually have already one guest lined up. I'm looking to get two guests that day. Obviously, it'll be a little bit of a celebration. You're listening to the most frequently podcasted, podcast on the Packers on the internet. I'm really happy to hold that title, so to speak, and hoping for a big episode here in a few weeks to celebrate number 500. So make sure to stick with us until then, at least. But thanks, everybody, for listening to today's show. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of everybody else, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.